The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another, and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
Well, welcome back to the Burrows of Berea. I am Sarita the Edge Edgerton, and to my left is Andy Rocketman Bishop. Behind the glass. I didn't say behind the glass. Does it count? Do I have to do it again?
Don't matter.
And across from me is straight out of Compton, Ralph Hicks.
Represent.
Looking good in his greenish blue he's got on today. And next to him is Sherry the Annihilator Lewis.
Hello.
No music today.
Yeah,
Sherry. I did say Sherry. It came out wrong.
I can be Sherry or Cherry. I've been called worse. I'm good.
Cherry.
When she said it that way, it made me think of a song.
Yes, it did. Don't sing that
Sherry.
Song.
Don't you do it.
Shush
your mouth.
And those beautiful tones that you heard is from the not ticked off
dulcet
podfather, Rick Welch.
Yeah. Like a junior mint. That's all I got. I don't know.
Next
I bet
to
a junior
him,
mint is ticked off. Actually.
I bet it is because it's not the senior. And right next to him is Billy the Eye Candy Kimsey.
I'm white chocolate and dark chocolate. Just turn the lights off.
I don't even know what that means.
I'm not sure either.
Turn the lights off. I'm dark.
Okay. I totally no, didn't get
gotcha.
It.
I gotcha.
And next to him is
milk chocolate.
I can't even say it. Milk chocolate. I'm sorry, Rick. Rick. I can't even think of what your nickname is. Rick Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Big oh, yeah. Daddy. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rick Snot Rocket
Big.
Daddy.
Oh, I hope you sanitize
so
these
just
microphones.
To be perfectly honest, I have got this all jacked up, guys, because I got super mad about a previous recording. So I'm sorry, Sarita. Everybody's off. It's my fault. They got to hear me say words that I have to go to the altar on Sunday for.
But you don't have to wait till Sunday. We can do it right now. There is no anyway, mediator, but
today is the day.
That's right.
Today is the day to confess.
Andy has an altar outside. We can use
fall to your knees and repent.
I would probably
please.
Skip that
anyway,
one.
I'm sorry, Sarita.
All right, I'm
going to
start by saying something that we don't say very often, but you're going to need your Bibles. So if you have your phones or your actual Bibles, paper Bibles.
Why would we bring a Bible here? No, I'm just kidding.
To a Bible podcast?
It's just a podcast.
Yeah. So we've been talking.
Half it.
To say we've been talking about fruits
of the Spirit.
Did you
call it a half cast?
I didn't finish my word. I halved it.
She half donkeyed it.
Where are we turning to? Where are we turning to?
Well, I'll tell you when we get there. Just okay. Make sure they're open. So last time we talked about the fruits of the Spirit. We talked about the works of the flesh and that there were three kinds, sexual, spiritual, and social. And we discussed those at some length. So we're going to then fast forward in Galatians 5 to the fruit of the Spirit. So if somebody would read Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. I don't care which one of you does it.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Okay. So like the works of the flesh, there are you can really classify these into three categories. The fruit that is directed toward God, the fruit that is directed toward others, and the fruit that is directed towards ourselves. So towards God, the word they use there for love is agape. Now the Bible, the New Testament in Greek, uses other types of love, phileo, which is brotherly love, agape, which is a self-sacrificing love, and eros, which is a sexual love. So, and they all come from different Greek words there. But the word that is used here is agape, which is the self-sacrificing love. And, of course, the picture of that we see from Christ on the cross, if we're to be like him. And towards God, so we love God that way, joy and peace. though you can argue that these kind of will go, can go back and forth between different ones, but the fruits that go towards others are patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And then towards ourselves is gentleness and self-control. So, as we're talking about, and that's just a general overview of what the fruits of the Spirit are, the Bible talks a lot about bearing fruit. So when I say you need to bear fruit as a Christian, what does that mean to you?
Well, it to me, it's, of course, I always hail back, like I go back to the Old Testament. You know, I'm going to take this from you and I'm going to give it to a people that's going to bear fruit. And those fruits are like the fruit of the Spirit list is part of it. It's like the works that we show to other people, to God. So I'm trying to put this in words here.
See, I'm reaching for a Twigs and Berries joke, but you go with your thing.
Oh.
It's kind of like if you see somebody that has a need, for example, let's say you see a widow that has a need, then I will elevate myself if it means I need to bring in some money or bring in some food or bring in some heat or bring in some sort of an effort for someone else. That effort is, it's like we're doing what God would do for a person, but he's working through us to do that. So that is a bearing of a fruit to someone so that what God has done within us is working its way out and it's going to the next person.
I'd say leading people to Christ.
Anybody else?
All right. Then how do we do that? How do we bear fruit?
Well, if you're going to lead them to Christ, we do what we're doing. We talk to people about Christ and try to get them to see our side or to at least look at a side and pick.
So would it be the reception? Let's say that we go back to that widow. By going and getting all of it, let's say that she needed food. So I go to the grocery store, I buy the things, I bring it to her and I give it to her. Is the fruit, once she receives it with gladness, that's the fruit? Or is it the effort that goes to giving it to her? That's my question.
That's a very good question.
Or is it her receiving it and doing something with it?
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah.
There's meaning in effort, but it's not the same meaning as effort that results in results.
Right. So it seems like, so bearing fruit is different than eating fruit, right?
Sure.
So bearing fruit means that you're seeing the evidence of what's coming from within working its way to the out. Mm-hmm. So the nutrients from within is working out to the fruit, then the fruit is exposed and people can see it. Mm-hmm. So let people see your good works before men, right? Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus would say.
All right, so let's don't make this terribly complicated.
I'm not, but I'm just thinking that's the bearing of the fruit.
But I'm going to say, y'all live in apple country,
uh-huh.
And in the fall, we can go out and see trees that have produced fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the apples.
Right? The apples are there.
But
the
it's visible.
Fruit is there. It's visible fruit. And so I'm going to go to John 15. And it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So we have to abide in him in order to bear much fruit. So before we get into what abiding means, does anybody know the very first fruit that is named by name in the Bible?
The very first fruit.
Fig?
Ding, ding, ding. Give him some white chocolate, sir.
Yeah.
The lights are still on.
Turn the lights off. Let's get him some dark chocolate.
Because God sowed, Adam and Eve sowed the fig.
Cherry's heavy sigh.
Cherry's going to run out of air at this rate.
Adam and Eve sowed the fig leaves to cover themselves in their shame. Now, we all know that she ate the fruit. We don't know what the fruit is. Though Hebrew history says that it's pomegranates, and the Hebrew priests have pomegranates sewn onto their robes with a pomegranate and then a bell and a pomegranate and a bell and so forth and so on. Don't know why that's a tradition. It just is. Hmm. Figs, though, are almost always used in the method of blessing or curse. And usually we know that God, Jesus cursed the fig tree as he was walking by it. So it's kind of interesting that the very first clothes that weren't sufficient because the fig leaf died at some point. So what they were trying to cover was no longer covered because it rotted. That just like the fig tree withers in front of Jesus, it's no longer bearing fruit. It no longer covered. And so we know that God had to go and cover them with animal skins, according to Genesis. So just thought that was kind of interesting lore about fruit. Fruit is mentioned a lot. The most, anybody want to guess for the dark chocolate prize?
Yes, we'll see. Sign me up.
We'll see if we can get a milk chocolate prize for later. But for dark chocolate prize, what fruit or its plant is named most often?
In the Bible?
In the Bible. In the Bible. I'm sorry. We're on a Bible podcast. In the Bible.
I still want to say fig.
Would it be olive?
Ooh,
is that
olive
a fruit?
Seems reasonable.
It's close.
Grapes?
Vineyard, grapes, wine press.
Two for two.
Yeah, you get the white and the Dutch.
Man.
Woohoo.
Ooh, I can make my own.
I think that means he gets all of you, Billy.
That means Ralph gets all of you.
Ralph knows all fruit trivia.
Okay.
Yeah. He is fruity.
Okay, so we must abide in God.
I'm cooking for Cocoa Puffs. Hey, I need you to exercise the fruit of self-control, bro.
Yeah.
Somebody just got Tourette's for like a second.
It was rough.
It's a pretty good
I have a feeling that's the way we're going to have to go.
Help me, Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
So we have to abide in Christ to produce much fruit. So being that none of us in this room are Jewish, how do we as Gentiles abide in Christ? What does the Bible say about that?
I'm actually Jewish, but...
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
How much?
Oh, I don't know. Probably 0.7%. That's not... They don't count?
Is your mother Jewish?
I would venture to say that most of you
Where's
in this room
hat?
Probably are Jewish.
I'm part Ashkenazi Jew.
I'm part of a lot of things, but unless your mother's Jewish, you're not.
No. Well, that's the acceptable... But as far as DNA is concerned, I would like to say that everybody in this room is probably Jewish.
So if I say, I am the vine and you are
the branches.
The branch.
He who abides in me
will bear much fruit.
Okay. There you go.
And apart from me,
you can do nothing, right?
Yeah.
I just want to say that one time I got a DNA test. It was a Groupon for a DNA test. And it came back 100% European. I don't know what that means.
That's a whole big place.
That's what I'm saying. Like Turkey's kind of European, but so is like all Deutschland and Spain. It covers a lot of ground. It didn't help much.
I did mine. It was half Irish. So.
Groupon.
He got that D. That's what's up. It's the D DNA, the discount DNA.
That's exactly what I got.
He got that. They
were like,
from Wish.
They were like, you're pretty white.
Where did you go? 23 and meh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Ooh. Okay. So, if we're to abide in Him, what does abide mean? It means to stay, remain, persevere, endure, even in the pruning. All right. I don't like to grow things. I can't. I grow children. I grew four pretty amazing children. If you've met them, you know what I mean. But plants, if you want a plant to die, just send it home to my house. My mom could grow anything green. And she could cross-pollinate things. And she could bring an avocado home and put the little toothpick things in it and
draft,
like put it
or graft.
Yeah, graft. So I mean, she could do all this stuff, and I don't want to get my fingers dirty. I know there are people who want to put their fingers in the dirt. I just don't want to do that. I'm just not that person. So when it starts talking about grafting and pruning and those kinds of things, I sort of glaze over because it's just
work.
Farming's not my thing. Okay, so. I started thinking about my mom back in the day when she would used to have her roses. She had this beautiful rose garden. But every year at a certain time of year, and don't ask me what time of year it is, she would have to cut them back. And I would go out there and I'd be like, Mom, what happened to your roses? They're like gone. They're like dead. What do you? She said, you have to prune them all the way back for them to grow out beautiful.
Every other year.
Yeah. Don't, again, she could have done it once every 5 years. In my mind, it was all the time. Like, she cut them back all the time. And now, like, I have to cut my, I have one rose bush that I cut back every fall, and it gets cut back and it comes out beautiful every year. And
you know what
beautiful.
I know about roses?
It's a knockout.
If you want them to die, they will live forever. So just hope that they go away.
Oh, right. See, hope for the best, pray for the worst.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta want it.
Gotta want it.
you gotta really want it.
So part of what he's talking about here is that this vine was growing. The vineyard is often called Israel. And that's all throughout the Old Testament. When you see vineyard, it's often a metaphor for Israel. And so when he's talking about grafting, that means he took us, those of us who are believers, and like, don't ask me how, somehow tied it on like my mom used to do. And like, she would grow a whole new different kind of rose. It doesn't make sense to me. And so I love that God uses agriculture terms and then I don't understand them. So I'm trying my best to understand them, but I do know that the pruning looked very painful. So when sometimes we have to be cut back, that can be pretty painful. But if we want to produce much fruit, the pruning has to be had. The bad stuff has to be cut off. The dead stuff must be sloughed away. And so that's what I learned when I was studying some of this stuff is I don't know exactly what he's talking about, but I'm trying really to picture that in my mind with human things that I can wrap my brain around. So if we're to abide, which means stay, remain, persevere, endure, even in the pruning, means we don't die. We still continue to thrive. It doesn't mean just wanting to be right with God, but it, and this is quoting John Piper, but it means to be with God wherever he is. So in the bad and the good, wherever God is, that's where we need to be. Not just wanting to be right with God, but wanting to be where he is at all times. And that was a quote from John Piper. I love that. So the fruit, when I looked it up in my concordance, is the outward expression of the inward power that is developing our character. I really like that definition. The outward expression of the inward power that is developing our character. And the desires that we studied, or the chaos, or very chaotic in the last episode, are plural, but the fruit is singular. And you might hear people say, oh, the fruits of the Spirit. It's never the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And they're all singular, which means unity, suggesting the unity of our character. These, we have all of these things. They're what produce our character. So fruit can often be produce, offspring, or a reward, such as in the purifying act of God. So does anybody have their Bible open to, if you will, open it to Isaiah 27:9. Oh, Rick Carter. And he's under arrest. That maybe Ralph should read it.
That was wild.
Sorry, I just tried to move this and I hit the siren switch. It's not a button, so you can't
let go of it. And then it's like,
switch.
Here comes
Rick
the
Carter
cops.
Got arrested.
Oh, Isaiah 27, what? 9?
9.
Therefore, Jacob's iniquity will be atoned for in this way, and the result of the removal of his sin will be this. When he makes all the altar stones like crushed bits of chalk, no Asherah poles or incense altars.
I must have written down the wrong verse. I'm sorry. Thank you for trying to read that, but that has nothing to do with fruit. So I'm not sure why I wrote 27 on there. I must have written down the wrong thing. So can we cut that out?
Absolutely.
Don't read Isaiah 27:9, Rick Carter.
Have you ever thought of, you know, in the pruning that maybe it was our desires and that our distractions that we prune those away, and that's painful because those are the things that we want in our life, but we have to, in order to stay on track and get more on track with God, that we're cutting away those, pruning away those desires which have become distractions?
Well, I agree with that, which is why the desires or the works of the flesh are listed mere words before the fruit is listed here.
Yeah, two verses before.
Yeah, and it has to be before. That has to be pruned away. We cannot produce fruit if we are fornicating and idolatrying and adulterating and.
Listen.
Why is everybody looking at me?
I didn't look at you.
Turn out the lights. Come on now.
So much judgment.
Is that conviction? You know,
I wasn't looking at you, white but I am now.
He's
like, look, I fornicated and bared lots of fruit around here. Yeah.
He looks
I don't know what y'all talking
hot.
About.
I name all my fruits.
Fruit. Not fruits.
It's only one fruit.
Fruit of the loom.
Multiple fruits. Anyway.
Skittles.
Oh, boy.
Taste the rainbow.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Cases. Whether in your home, auto, suitcase, or hotel, you can be assured that with Carolina Cases, you can protect what matters most. Carolina Cases are TSA approved, so you know that your items are secure in a shock and impact-proof hard case. These lightweight, durable cases come with pre-cut, protective, high-quality foam to fit your pistol by make and model, compact size or full size. They come in a universal configuration for multiple options. Carolina Cases are more than a pistol case. They are available in fully customizable foam to protect what matters. You can go to their website at www.carolinacases.net to see their designative, protective lid designs. Each is laser engraved to give you unmatched style at home or on the range. So to protect what matters most, visit www.carolinacases.net. That's www.carolinacases.net. Enter code Burrows, that's Burrows, at checkout to receive free shipping. That's right. Just enter Burrows at checkout and you'll receive free shipping.
So the only other time that the New Testament speaks of fruit in this manner is the fruit of righteousness. Has anybody ever heard of that phrase before, the fruit of righteousness? And that usually comes after a chastening or a disciplinary training, if you will, that godly spanking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For those of us
chastisement,
that fruit of, and that's what we should be seeking. So what?
We should be seeking a spanking.
We should be seeking the pruning, yes. If we're to be growing like Christ, if we're to be growing closer in Christ and abiding, yes. We should be, I mean, we wouldn't want our children to be untrained, would we? Well, actually, let me know.
I think I'll be seeking self-discipline before I had to get the spanking.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be my hope.
Some of us are harder headed than others.
Oh, I am. Yeah.
I'm a harder head. I need a swift kick in the rear most of the time. To be pruned properly. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? Who can say them off the top of their head without singing Teezy's song? Joy, okay, sing it then.
Nope, I'm good.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Still in rhythm.
Yep.
Was I?
Yep.
It's hard to avoid.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
You'll be like, love, joy. Peace, kindness, faithfulness.
So like go, Andy.
Captain Kirk.
Yeah, new version.
You got to, yeah. Or you know, Christopher Walken is also acceptable if that's easier for you.
Oh, I like that. Let's all do it in, I wish I could.
Love, joy, and peace.
Peace.
There you go.
Patience.
More cowbell.
More cowbell. Yes. All right. So the first one.
I got a fever.
Which we all want to, yes, we all do this one, right? Love. And so if y'all have been following Rick Welch's social media page, he's been talking a lot about love in the past couple of months. And the agape kind of love here is self-sacrificing. And I went on my social media page and asked for examples of people who have laid down their lives for other people. And we had this really sweet lady comment, and I'm not going to go too much into it because I think she's coming on
the
podcast in, later on in a couple weeks, but that her husband sacrificed himself. He was a police officer, and he sacrificed himself to save his other officers when they were serving a warrant. And it's a really sweet story. I didn't know it. I was kind of newish to the area, and I'm excited that she's going to come and talk about that.
Yeah, this happened around here.
Yeah, it was Buncombe County, wasn't it?
It was.
Uh-huh. And
not far from where we live over in Hooper's Creek.
Yep. So
off Mills Gap Road.
There are people who will sacrifice themselves for others, and we hear this in stories of storms and tornadoes and things like that. I mean, my husband even said, well, you sacrifice yourself for your kids. I'm like, well, I didn't die, but I was willing to.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that is we're trying to get to an attitude of God towards his son and his children. Okay. So the agape love we have, the self-sacrificing love, should first and foremost be directed at God. And I came up on my Facebook page the other day, a memory of a flood, and I think it must have been in Nicaragua, a church that we had gone to, and the people were standing in that church worshiping God, and they were waist deep in water where they had had a hurricane or something. It might not have been Nicaragua, but they had had a hurricane, and they were waist deep, and they were still dressed in their church Sunday clothes. And most of us, if it's too cold, we're not going to get out of bed and go to church. It is just too cold this morning, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'll just watch it on Facebook Live now. And, you know, we really have a hard time because we live in a state of comfortable Christianity in America. And so a lot of times with this self-sacrificing love, what are we really willing to give up to love God?
That's a great point. That's a great phrase.
It is true. And I'm the same way. Like if it's raining too hard, my hair just ain't going to look right.
Ain't going to look right.
Do you know what I mean? I'll go to church in the rain, but there are moments,
when I'm tired. I was up too late last night.
Yeah. Yeah. I stayed up past 9. So.
Yeah. Who hasn't woken up 15 minutes and it's like, oh, I got 10 minutes to get ready. Oh, do I go? Do I have to go?
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
We always told our children, we never told our children we have to go to church tomorrow. We get to go to church tomorrow. That's how I tried to raise my kids with, we get to go to church. We're not going to get shot at on the way, hopefully. We're not going to be beheaded while we're there. Mm-hmm. We get to go to church and worship with other believers today. And it should be a privilege to do that. But that's not just that. I mean, we see our neighbor down the street who's suffering because her husband passed away. We think about, we're going to pray for her. But how can we sacrifice, how can we show her love, sacrificial love? What does that look like? But it should be directed at God because, well, he directed his agape toward us, that he sent his son to die. 1 Corinthians 13, we're not going to read the whole thing, but I bet some of you can quote most of it.
Yep.
Love is patient, love is kind. Did you notice that love is the other fruit? If you go and read the whole thing, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast. Love is the other fruit.
Yeah.
It is. Without love, there are no other fruit.
Mm-hmm.
There are no other fruits of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. All right. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Rick Carter, I really mean it this time. Read it. Colossians 3, 12 through 14.
Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against the other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also forgiven. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity.
Hmm.
There you go. Without love, there's no unity. Without love, we cannot love one another. And I think that's what you were kind of seeing on your Facebook page, that it was frustrating you so much. We're all supposed to be believers. And while we may not believe the same thing about end times, or we may not believe that what color carpet our carpet should be, or what kind of music we should play at our church, we're still supposed to be a body of believers who are unified behind Christ. And we're not.
Yeah.
Because we don't do this very first thing, the self-sacrificing love, because we don't want to sacrifice ourselves.
Yeah, I saw, and Andy, I'll send you this link. There was a TED Talk where Sam Harris, you know Sam Harris?
Yep.
Sam Harris gave this talk about morality and how science, they could use science to help create like a moral average that everyone in the world could adhere to. In other words, to use God as the moral judge in our world, he's saying, well, science can do the same because he used these polar opposites. And I have a reason for bringing this up. He said the Dalai Lama, who is a guy that's the extreme of good, and then Ted Bundy. You know, like what Ted Bundy considers as good is not necessarily good for the rest of us, right? But somewhere along the line, that science could develop all of this and then try to find that morality. And here's what I said. Somebody asked me, what do you think about that? And I said, I actually agree with Sam Harris. And the reason why I say that science could help find the mean is because I want that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I would like for our world to try to get away from the extremities, because the more we can stay towards the mean, I think the happier that everyone's going to be. So I agreed with Sam Harris on that. And of course, I get the rejection immediately. Well, you can't agree with him. He's an atheist. It's like, that is the stupidest argument I've ever heard him of. Because he's an atheist, I can't.
Yeah, it's not
like,
really.
The dude was really smart. Reason, that was a good point. That was, as a matter of fact, he didn't even have a problem with the fact that you had a religion. He just had a problem with the extreme religion. And he also had a problem with the extreme opposite, right? So there was these ways and means. Well, to me, that's what I feel like love is, that fruit of love, is that love is the mean. Love is the thing that can balance, in my opinion, the things, all the things. And you can have differences.
That's common.
You can have true differences, but you can find a common ground in it. So, yes, you really, really like cats, and I really, really like dogs. But if I love you, but if we love one another, we can at least talk about the good things about cats or the good things about dogs or what. But my point is that to me, love is the equalizer. If we exercise it, right?
You want to find common ground?
Yeah.
There was a guy on the internet the other day talking shit about the Princess Bride.
Okay.
Oh no, he didn't.
Common ground.
Oh no, found he didn't.
Found it. Yeah. See how quick that was?
I say the easiest.
I don't think that word means what you think it means. Did you get it? Okay. You killed my joke. Prepare to die.
I got that one. That first one flew right over me. I'm sorry.
It's
that
okay.
One I got.
Well, and I think that too, because I've heard people, when we talk about things like this, say, well, then you're just being lukewarm. Well, I don't think you're being lukewarm. I think what you're doing is you're being compassionate and loving.
Yeah.
So it does, just because you're meeting in the middle doesn't mean you're being lukewarm. It means what you're doing is, this is how I believe, this is how you believe, and I'm going to meet you in the middle to love you the way you need to be loved to get you, you know, where you need to be.
It's just like Sarita just said. None of those work without the anchor.
Absolutely.
Of love. All of it stems from that. It's the great equalizer. And that's why I think that we as believers should learn how to exercise it, not only towards one another, but even towards our enemies. And what that means, try it for a while, guys. Just give it a shot.
If we did this in our marriages.
Yeah.
If we loved each other self-sacrificially,
yeah,
it wouldn't be
Billy,
divorced.
Try to love somebody else's wife.
Wait, what?
What?
Wait,
he just drugged Billy.
Whoa,
he
was Billy. Like,
it's time to drug Billy.
I did not say that, Billy. Yeah, I love
all
you,
joking
Billy.
Aside,
all joking aside. All these if people that come after you, are they going to like bump your douche canoe in heaven?
Yeah.
I mean, just starting a fight. Like, yeah. I believe in God. I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to pick a fight in heaven.
I got news. You can't take a douche canoe down the river of life. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, so
not going to bump.
No, because
douche canoe.
It eventually gets soaking wet and goes to the bottom.
Yeah, your douche canoe's about to sink.
This canoe is made of Nerf foam. No, but
I think you saved it with that last one. I was about to edit that whole section.
So I think when we talk about love, and if I were to ask you, what are some ways that you see in your lives, not necessarily what you do, but you see other people showing self-sacrificial love?
Well, when I see people doing for other people what you do for your kids. So do you stop your world to go help someone when it's inconvenient? Love is doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it.
I think about the young mothers that you meet. Like if I'm looking at you, right, and you go to these young mothers, you go to these churches, you talk about, you get open about it, but then like you actually put your feet to the path, you walk the walk, you don't just talk the talk, you're there. You ask these young women about their lives and their fears and their worries, and you ask them if you can share with them your experience, or if you can pray with them, or help get them through a hard time. That is where it's at for me. That's self-sacrifice. You could stay home and you could Netflix. Well, I won't say the rest, but you could stay and watch Netflix. You could stay home with your... Okay, you can stay home and whatever you do.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah. You can Amazon Prime.
Me and Reacher all day.
Mm. Yeah. But you could be doing that. You could spend your time doing that, right? But instead, you've decided, like, hey, I want to start a ministry. Like when you were up here, I don't have one. Let's start one. Like I needed it. I want other people to have it. So I see that happening. I see Cherry.
I was thinking about Cherry.
Raising her grandchildren.
Yeah.
She's already raised her kids.
Yeah.
She's already done it. She's having to deal in her world. She's having to raise her grandchildren. And she could have easily said, I've already done this. I'm done. But instead, and yes, it's your grandchildren, but at the same time, there's just this love. Some people might say, well, it's easier because it's your family.
People who take in foster kids.
Yes.
And have to deal with all the stuff that goes with that.
Uh-huh.
Ralph?
She's doing fine. Talked to her today.
I'm just saying. That's a sacrificing love.
See, but I don't feel that was a sacrifice.
But yeah, of course you wouldn't. Because you're Ralph.
Yeah.
You have the
But
kindest...
you got to understand, I'm not going to take somebody else's kid in my house just as
a
easy
lot of people would not
day.
Take in their own grandchildren, much less a stranger's kid.
Yeah. I mean, you got to understand.
And there's people, dads, moms who will sacrifice their children because their children and other people think that's what's best for them, even though they would walk over hot coals and glass to get mm-hmm. them back. Mm-hmm. You know, and the heartache that goes with that, or tough loving your kid when he is a drug addict. Tough loving that kid. Like, I'm sorry, I love you, but I cannot... I mean, that. Do you know how hard that must be? I've never had to do that. I've never had to say, I can't give you any more money for drugs, even though I know it's going to almost kill you to be that way. You mm-hmm. know, that is a whole sacrifice that my couple of hours a week of time does not match up to. But I don't have to match up to anybody else's time. I have to match up to God, and God says, greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And that makes me, of course, think of soldiers who fight for their countries mm-hmm. and people who throw themselves in front of bullets, police officers and things like that. So there's all kinds of self-sacrificing love that we can have, but do I really have to comment on that post on Facebook?
What?
Whatever it is.
Yeah. No, right.
Or Twitter, or do I really have to, can I just scroll by?
Yeah.
Sacrifice your own need to be right.
I did that the other day with that Princess Bride post.
I'm proud of you, because they're wrong, but, and we should all go attack them together.
He didn't let
in
it
mass.
Go so long Absolutely. That he didn't bring it up here.
But I, what I said was, it was such a nice day, and now apparently I have to fight someone about the Princess Bride on the internet. That was my comment. But then nothing after that. So yeah, that's pretty selfless, that's pretty I feel good. Like.
I give it.
Look at you.
I give yeah. it.
Look at you.
I give it. So I do know that there's different ways that we can sacrifice for one another and for that. But without the agape kind of love, I'm not talking about the Eros sexual kind of love. Because if you love your spouse, the agape ought to be mixed in with the Eros.
Yeah, and I mean, if you okay, love fine. Your, I'll sacrifice myself for my wife.
Okay, I'm sure you will, because she's such a hard looker. I mean, you know. But if you love your brother,
why are you shaking your head,
if
Cherry?
If you phileo love somebody, you also ought to agape love them as well.
Yeah.
So I think the whole myriad of the world's problems, including the Princess Bride, would be solved if we agape loved one another.
I got to do this. I'm sorry.
Yes.
So you know how you're really self-sacrificing when you have to mix the Eros love with the agape love in your marital relationship?
Yeah.
Is when you have to leave the lights on.
So you get the white chocolate?
You're no longer self-sacrificing when you go, you got to turn the lights off.
Yeah.
But I'm scared of the dark.
Get over it.
It's not really a self-sacrifice when your first words are, okay, brace yourself. It was cold outside.
Oh no.
This turned very quickly.
I keep my boots on for more traction.
Oh, Lord.
This has turned so badly. I'm not sure how this happened. I let it get out of control.
Yeah, it's yeah. All right.
I had no self-control. Yeah. I had no burrow control. So,
nobody controls this ass. I stuttered, but
somebody
I got
it. Does.
I'd rather you say these ass.
These ass.
It still works.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Cases. Whether in your home, auto, suitcase, or hotel room, you can be assured that with Carolina Cases, you can protect what matters most. Carolina Cases are TSA approved, so you know your items are secured in a shock and impact-proof hard case. These lightweight, durable cases come with pre-cut, protective, high-quality foam to fit your pistols by make and model, compact size, or full size. They also come in a universal configuration for multiple options. Carolina Cases are more than a pistol case. They are available in fully customizable foam to protect what matters. You can go to their website at www.carolinacases.net to see their designer protective lid designs. Each is laser engraved to give you unmatched style at home or on the range. So protect what matters most. Visit www.carolinacases.net. That's www.carolinacases.net. Enter code Burrows at checkout to receive free shipping. That's right. Just enter the code Burrows at checkout and you'll receive free shipping.
Okay. So do we want to continue with the next one or do we have time for that or do we? It's eight.
I mean, these parts, we can go 3, 4, or 5 parts on this. So.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to get into a lot about the abiding and the bearing fruit and the pruning. I know some of y'all don't like to be pruned.
Some of the things about love, we can easily, I think, quickly define it. But it was interesting how Paul wrote about it, even from the standpoint of if you're in the Bible's context, if you're a slave, that you should be, I'll paraphrase it, you should be the best slave that you can be because of, you know, may it be the circumstances that they put themselves in that got them there. But, you know,
it depends on what sort of slave you are. In some circumstances, being the best slave just means you're working real hard and still getting the same nothing. And in other circumstances, being the best slave means maybe you get a slightly better position in slavery. I'm not sure I'm super excited about either one. The one is clearly better than the other.
Well, in any case, you put yourself in that position some way, somehow, through whatever means.
Losing a war, probably. Yeah. Usually you screwed up by losing a war and you should have killed more people.
You mean putting yourself into slavery?
No.
Yeah. I think it's a labored metaphor.
If we all can pass it about love, and I'm sorry, this is kind of taking a little longer than I wanted it to, but we can talk about love and how we can do for each other. Mm-hmm. And easily, because when you like somebody, you can easily love them. And we talk about the enemies, and we really don't love them. We kind of love them at a distance or non-response to them. But, you know, in essence, that Andy's right. It's like doing love for, like at a job, doing the best you can for the boss that you don't like. You know, loving what you do and enough to do it the right way, the best way you can. Mm-hmm. You may not, at times it may not be the best environment to be in to do it, but there's love is so abounding and so that's where the fruit comes from. Mm-hmm. You can't bear any fruit through hate or malice or anything else. It's just not there. Yeah. Some people can define it as, oh, well, you're bearing that type of fruit. Well, no, there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. There's no fruit in hate. There's no fruit in all of that. But through love and kindness, I mean, love is what bears everything. That's the connection to it all. I mean, that's where Christ tried to show everybody was that love brought us everything.
Yeah, and Sarita, you described it very well because we were reading the fruit of the Spirit, and then you were talking about the vine and the branches and abiding in Christ. And this is a natural outworking of our faith. This is something that He says, like you said, three verses before. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. And then he gives you the list. These are the evidences.
But the fruit is not evident. It's never said to be evident.
It's not. The works of the flesh are things that show you the evidence of what's in the core. The fruit of the Spirit is in the core. Do you see what I mean? And so it's a natural outworking of our faith. That's why sometimes whenever, if somebody, you know, and I'm going to be handing over some responses. I think I'm going to let Andy take it over for a month. No joke. Like, he said he'd be willing to do it.
I do it. Some of this has been hard. You guys should hear this. Not you guys, but some of this has been hard on Rick. Like, Rick takes some of this stuff personally. And it's, I don't think it's personal attacks, but I understand it is very difficult when you're the person with their name at the top of the email.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, just the...
Well, let us share that burden. That shouldn't be on just you.
No, I know. I've just been the point man all this time, but he brought it up. Could be to me, too. Huh?
Could be to me. You just didn't know it.
Yeah.
Wrong, true. Rick.
You know, that's the secret. That's just probably, always assume there's something wrong.
It's probably him. No, but that guy. I remember whenever, you know, I made that comment about being called out on Facebook, you know, it kind of like brought it, which is somewhat embarrassing. It's like, why did you select me, like, out of all people, like, because I'm a public figure now? I didn't know I was a public figure, but I've become one, right? So now I say, well, how far do I want to let this go? And then I feel on the inside, like, this, I feel this unbelievable amount of grace that comes from nowhere, because I'm ready to rip your face off. Like, who I am, you guys have no clue how I was raised and how we respond. If you guys met my father.
It's so funny to hear you talk about yourself as a youth, as kind of an angry youth. And I'm
not
just
only
like,
was I an angry youth, but I would rip your face off. I would destroy you every
Maine,
way I possibly could.
Maine-esque old man sweater.
But my, I mean,
he doesn't seem like he would be an angry youth. It doesn't compute.
Mr. Rogers.
But what happens, like,
It was like Mr. Rogers was in the war, so.
He's like one of the gang members from Short Circuit, too. The Los Lobos.
You got to be our age to get it. But so there's.
Or Michael Miano.
Yeah. I remember whenever that began in my life, I knew what my standard evidences were, but I could feel the inner working, something taking over. And I just began to see life differently. And that was even in my early 30s. You know, and it changed. And like Andy said in the past, a lot of it has to do with, like, we mature, we get older, we're in our 40s, we see life different. That's true. It is. But this, like, this past one, like, the reason why it got to me was because it was such a public thing. And I thought, I'm going to be honest, but I'm still going to be kind. I'm going to be kind.
That's good. Every time you make that choice, it becomes easier to make that choice again.
Yeah.
The next time, it's a little incrementally easier to make that choice again.
Right.
And we're getting ready to be in one of the most unloving times.
Oh, my God.
Of our country, which is election time.
Can I just move for election?
Yeah. Yes. Let's all. Can we move Giraffe Studio to, like, the Bahamas?
Oh, please.
Yeah. Hey. Let's go.
You know what? Now we're talking.
You know, one of those, like, big helicopters with, like, the dual
rotors. Yeah, the Chinooks.
You could move this building with one of those
for
things.
For sure.
They can drop a tank somewhere. This does not weigh more like an M1 Abrams.
Not at all.
And I'll be real still.
We'll just buy a container when we're there when we put all this in it.
That's true. We can just bring the equipment. We don't have to bring the building.
But yeah, you're right. It is coming. That is coming.
If we could just remember to be...
Oh, I don't want to talk about it ever. Can loving. We never talk about it, please?
We don't have to talk about it here.
No, but loving. If we could be loving to one another. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means keeping your trap shut.
We're not gonna get mad at you for voting for Trump.
Yeah.
She got solid real quick. Like, she was like marble for a second.
Especially since Nikki Haley's going to get the ticket. That was fun.
That was funny.
Anyway, we're not
talking
about it.
I'm glad we're not on video.
There's a Nikki Haley thing there.
I see that thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, all that to say is sometimes being self-sacrificing is just, instead, when our spouse comes to us and pushes that button that only they can push, yeah. or our boss pushes a button or blames you for something, or if you are the boss, remember, you're pushing somebody else's button, Billy. Yeah,
that's right.
Why aren't me
you?
Again?
Whose cat are you, cat are you kicking, Billy? What are you doing?
Yeah. I just want to make sure he's paying attention.
Yeah.
But sometimes when we get that button pushed, if we would just take a breath, is what I'm about to say going to be beneficial to my job, my relationship, my marriage, whatever, in 2 days? Is it that important that I'm right 100%? Or can I just keep my mouth shut and maybe stew on it for a little bit and then talk yeah. a little bit later? Which is completely opposite of who I naturally am. Mm-hmm. I naturally just want to fight back.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard, man.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yep.
And one of the, and I'll just give you an example. One of the times that became evident in my life was when my mom was sick and dying. She was really mean as she was dealing with cancer, and I've never dealt with cancer, so I can't say that I would not be the same. But when a person looks at you and says that she doesn't love you and she doesn't want you there anymore, and you deal with that, my initial thing was to, I'm here taking care of you, you know, wiping your behind and giving you your meds. And that was my initial that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But I thought, I'm here for reconciliation. Does what I'm about to come out of my mouth going to help me get towards reconciliation or push farther away? And it was a moment of self-control that I don't know that I've ever had in my whole life. But I remember going home that next day and crying to my husband and saying, can you imagine your mother ever telling you those words? He said, his mom's the sweetest human being ever to walk the face of the planet. So no, of course not. But he said, I can't imagine how that would hurt. He said, I can try to imagine, but I can't quite imagine that. And Izzy just happened to be standing there. She goes, but mommy, why are you going back? And I looked at her and I thought, why am I going back? And I thought, because the Bible says it's easy to love those who love you. Mm-hmm. Even the sinners do that. Yep. But to love those who despise you,
it's true.
It's closest to Jesus that you'll ever be.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she goes, oh, that's what that verse means. There you go.
Yep.
There you go. And I went every day. And so was it hard? Yes. Did it get any easier? Maybe a little. But all that to say is sometimes have to persevere by just keeping our mouth shut.
Yeah.
Well, how would you have felt if you didn't?
Oh, worse. Because what if she, there's a whole big thing. That's why it takes a moment of self-control that most of us don't have on a normal basis. But so that self-sacrificing love can just mean biting your tongue. All right.
Well, I like the King James version of that verse, the way it says it. It says, if you love those that love you, don't even the Republicans do that?
Hey, before we end this, I just got something that I want everybody in here to think about.
Could you put the siren on again?
Sorry, Ralph.
So I want to pose something to everybody that I've been thinking about. I've read a few things. If, because we've talked in here about people thinking that other people have written certain books of the Bible than wrote them. But many of those have been interpreted thinking that this particular person and his views wrote it and interpreted what that person wrote based on who they are. Do you think if you found out for sure that somebody else wrote a book, say Revelation or whatever other book, that you would interpret the way it was written different based on who wrote
it? Yes.
Considering the author.
John?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's changed the way I read it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me and him talk about that all the time.
There are certain things that Paul wrote, and he wrote them, and we know he was chained literally to a guard on one leg and a guard on another leg, and he wrote about loving them. Mm-hmm. If Paul didn't write that, it changes the whole outlook of it.
That's way easier if you're not Paul.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
But if you're Paul and you have to learn to love like that, and hearing Jesus' words from the cross, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do, that ultimate act of self-sacrificial love, that he forgave the people who literally just put these iron spikes in his wrist.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, let's just, if Jesus didn't say those words, it changes the whole perspective of everything.
Yeah, for sure.
If the thief on the cross next to him said it, it doesn't mean as much.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the one who had the power to forgive and show mercy and show love said it from the cross in his agony.
Yeah, I just was thinking about that because I was reading a book from someone and I remembered we had a podcast where it said, well, we think somebody else read this. I'm like, well, if you think someone else wrote it, so how do you reinterpret that now?
I think that was 2 Peter. I think somebody was saying that 2 Peter wasn't really written by Peter. Was that what it was?
I think there's a couple books in here.
There's
Second
a couple,
Peter wasn't written by Peter.
There's yeah, a couple a, Peters, a, like little bits of and, Peter's and, stuff and, that and a, were and a probably written and, by
and,
other people.
And a Lazarus in there somewhere.
I totally missed the question. I didn't hear it.
What did you say? If you do something was written by somebody other than who it was claimed wrote it, uh-huh. Do you read it differently?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do.
I remember a secular example. You remember that James Fry book? It was like A Million Little Pieces, I think it was yes. called. And it was about drug addiction. And
it helped a lot of people.
And it helped a lot of people, but then everyone found out that he totally copped that story from like yep. somebody else or somebody yep. you knew or something. And they cooked him alive because yeah. he wrote it as nonfiction.
He did.
And as his own story. And it was not. It was...
Yeah, it was discovered. It was on the Oprah Book Club, yep. and he had
probably
sold a lot of
very
copies.
Good book. To be fair,
yeah, not only that, but it helped a lot of people.
Yep,
it helped
but
a lot of people.
But not his.
No,
he.
But how many people couple, could it have helped if he fellas, had been honest about it?
Sang a couple really hit songs, and they got
Millie
Vanilli.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
They didn't really do it.
Blame it,
girl. You know
rain.
It's true.
I have
we
a joke
went different directions.
I still one. Like those songs.
Yeah,
did
you guys like to hear a joke?
Absolutely.
Sure. End us on a high note.
A priest and a rabbi are seated together on a plane, and after a while, the priest turns to the rabbi and asks, is it still a requirement of your faith that you not eat pork? And the rabbi responds, yes, that is still one of our beliefs. The priest then asks, have you ever eaten pork? To which the rabbi says, yes, on one occasion, I did succumb to temptation, and I tasted a ham sandwich. And the priest nodded in understanding and went on with his reading. And later the rabbi spoke up and asked the priest, Father, is it still a requirement of your church that you remain celibate? And the priest replied, yes, that is still very much a part of our faith. The rabbi then asked him, Father, have you ever fallen into the temptation of the flesh? And the priest replied, yes, Rabbi, on one occasion I was weak and I broke my faith. The rabbi nodded understandingly, and he was silent, thinking for a few minutes. And then he said, it really beats a ham sandwich, doesn't it?
on that note.
That was good. That was quality.
It was the worst
that was
of
a good
the
quality. Yeah. That was well set up. Thank you. Well, Andy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I love you.
You too.
Ralph, love you too. Cherry, who looks like she just wants thanks. To die in the chair
flipping
over there.
Flipping everybody a bird.
Flipping everybody off over there.
Showing that universal love.
Yeah.
I like how Cherry's quiet, but you know if you gave her some shit, she would cook you.
Listen, she's been doing really well lately. She will open hand slap you rather than fist punch you in the mouth.
Yes. All right. Working on that self-control.
Podfather, well.
Get down on your knees and tell me you love me. You remember that?
White chocolate, too. Dark chocolate? Mm-hmm.
The size of the root that bears the fruit.
Oh, yeah, I can't follow that up.
Yeah.
Good night,
how are you
going to
follow that?
That's it.
Yeah, how are you going to follow that?
That's all I got.
Big Daddy, what you got now?
No, you can't.
Done.
You can't.
Yeah. Done?
No, you can't. You
exit
can't beat
stage
it.
Left.
Well. From Sarita the Edge Edgerton, who lost control of the entire ship, is sinking as we speak. We'll see you next time on the Burrows of Berea. Peace out. Bye, y'all.
Hey, guys, this is Rick from the Burrows of Berea. Do you know how much blood, sweat, and tears it takes to make a podcast? None. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't cost a lot. And so if you guys don't mind, if anybody would like to give to help us with these episodes, it would be great. We'll put out even more content. And if you go to our Patreon page, just search for the Burrows of Berea, you'll get extra notes, extra episodes, and It's pretty much free. A dollar gets you a lot. Thanks, guys.